Welcome to the Reformed Media Review. This is episode number 88. My name is Camden Busey. I'm here with Jim Cassidy. And today we have planned for you just a mention of several books that are on our shelves. Jim, you've got a few things on your shelf, and we're not going to do full reviews of any of these titles for this particular episode, but what would you like to mention today?
Well, I think I'd like to start out just simply mentioning a book that has come to me from really, I guess, a friend of ours, Jordan Cooper, who is a Lutheran pastor. Jordan came to our conference, actually, back in October. Had a chance to meet him face-to-face and really enjoyed getting to meet him, his wife, and their child. And he went ahead and sent me a copy of this book published by Wiffenstock. The title of the book is Christification, A Lutheran Approach to Theosis. It's a short initial kind of foray into the discussion of theosis coming from a Lutheran perspective. It's only about 125 – actually, not about. It is 125 pages plus a bibliography. That's very helpful as far as I could tell, bibliography. I'm not at all up to date or well researched in the topic of theosis historically. Let me just mention something about the conclusion, and then I'll work back to the beginning of the book to give us all a sense of the contents of the book as a whole. In the conclusion, Jordan is trying to set forth a Lutheran understanding of theosis that he calls Christification, and he hopes to be able to set this forth to provide a platform or perhaps a starting point of further discussion with the Eastern Orthodox tradition of theosis. And so having said that, now you know where he's kind of heading with this. Let me go back and describe a little bit of the content of the book as a whole. It's made up of five chapters. The first chapter is called Defining Theosis, where he goes ahead and introduces us to the notion of theosis, what it is as an idea, what it is understood as in the Eastern Orthodox tradition, how it's understood in a more a Western, I guess, tradition, particularly in Lutheranism. And then that's where he develops chapter two, theosis, particularly in the Lutheran tradition. Chapter three, theosis in Holy Scripture. Chapter four, theosis as Christification in the early patristic sources. And then chapter five, the Neoplatonic approach to deification. It's very important for me just to say up front that Jordan is very careful to distinguish between an orthodox and an unorthodox understanding of theosis. The unorthodox version is what he calls apotheosis, which is the idea that somehow there is an ontological transformation of man into God, kind of along the lines of Mormonism, the idea of where man actually changes his form, leaves behind his humanity, and transforms into becoming a divine being. And of course, that's the type of approach to theosis that Jordan is wanting to say is not even an option within the discussion. And so theosis then within a Orthodox tradition, particularly in Lutheranism, is subsumed under the category of sanctification. It is that process part of our of soteriology in the Lutheran tradition, whereby we come to participate in and share in the triune life or the life of the triune God. That basically gives you where it is that he is heading in terms of understanding us becoming more and more like Christ. And so he uses the term Christification in that regard. I don't have any expertise or insight in terms of a critique of the work or his thesis as a whole. And so I'll just go ahead and leave that information there for our listeners and let them decide if they are interested in picking up the book or not to understand and to read the issue. I will say this, that if nothing else, whether you agree or disagree with the approach of Mr. Cooper, what you will certainly come to is a greater understanding and appreciation for the historic discussion on the issue of theosis. And so as a helpful tool to enter into current discussions about the issue of theosis. It seems as if it would be a helpful work.
Mm. Reminds me of a title we reviewed back in 2013 called Christosis, Pauline Soteriology, The Light of Deification. Mm-hmm. That was a book written by Ben Blackwell. It's a modified version of his doctoral thesis, which he wrote at Durham. If you do a search, you might be able to find a PDF of that online because Durham posts their dissertations online. But the book is published by Moore Seebeck, and you can listen to an 18-minute review of this between Jeff and Waddington and myself on episode 58 of Reformed Media Review. And he tries to do a similar thing, although not coming from a Lutheran perspective. I believe he might be a Baptist, but a more general evangelical approach, trying to find some sort of rapprochement between deification, but doing so understanding the role of Jesus Christ and trying to prevent any form of ontological merging between God and man. So
sure.
it's a hot topic and an important one because there's a lot in our tradition regarding this issue, but yet a lot of confusion as well.
Yeah, yeah, and it seems to be a subject that's perhaps, you know, and again, I'm speaking off the cuff. This is just kind of peripheral research and reading I have done, but it seems to be a hot topic or point of discussion anyway within Bardian circles as well. There seems to be an attempt to kind of explore this issue, see if it can be done from a quote-unquote reformed perspective. So somebody like T.F. Torrance, for instance, has opened up the issue to discuss, you know, from more of a reformed Bardian perspective as opposed to, let's say, a Lutheran or a Catholic or an Eastern Orthodox perspective.
Yeah. I tried to touch a little bit on this in my dissertation on Rahner because he has some themes that are really interesting in this light as well. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, I'm trying to turn Chapter 8 of my dissertation into a journal article. So whether or not that'll see the light of day, we'll have to wait.
That'll be good. All right. So everybody keep your eyes out for that article. That'd be good.
But certainly not directly on the topic of deification or Christification or Christosis or theosis, but certainly related when we bring in our themes of glorification and the traditional notion of the beatific vision. Many of these things are highly related.
Yep.
I've got a couple books here myself, maybe too many, but just to list some titles, some things I'm very excited about. One I have in my hand and I've read through so far about 116. Right, Jim? About 116 pages. Actually, I have read through 116 pages. Is Greg Allison's new book, Roman Catholic Theology and Practice, an Evangelical Assessment. It's published by Crossway. It's a very exciting title because there aren't many titles out there, certainly not current titles, that are dealing with Roman Catholic theology from an evangelical perspective and that are updated and trying to deal with the post-Vatican II mindset. So this book actually begins by laying some foundations, speaking about the nature of grace dualism and some other features of Revelation. And then it works itself into more or less of a commentary on the Catholic Catechism, which was officially approved in 1994 for American audiences. It replaced a previous, I think Baltimore Confession or something of the sort, an official doctrinal statement that has been superseded now by the Catholic Catechism. And so it's very helpful for understanding what official Catholic teaching is and generally speaking how Catholics have understood it. And then each commentary section is followed by more or less an evangelical commentary and critique. So he keeps them separate. He tries to do exposition of Catholic teaching and then a criticism. And it's quite helpful so far. My initial criticisms, and again, I haven't finished the book, and I hope to do a further review of this down the road, and perhaps we could even interview Dr. Allison. I'm sure it would be a fantastic interview. I'm waiting to see if there's more on more of a transcendental Thomist, figures like Karl Rahner or even figures like a Bernard Lonergan or others like them. I don't see that it's dealing with that so much. And the reason I bring that up, one, it's always on my mind because it was my particular doctoral subject of study. And I try not to make my view myopic in the sense that I view the entire Catholic world through one guy because it's certainly not fair, the Catholic world being wildly diverse, and you do need to look at the official teaching. But yet, at least in the realm of the Transcendental Thomists and others like them, they have certain doctrines of revelation which allow them to get underneath the official teaching in a particularly pernicious way, in my view. And so it makes them much more slippery and, I believe, much more dangerous as theological opponents. And if we don't get down to those baser levels and just stick with, well, the Catholic Church seems to say this here, and don't get down to the really core concerns regarding how revelation works and how the magisterium relates us to God and His eternal truth, then I think we might miss the real root issue with some quarters of Catholicism, which I believe are highly influential. So more to come on that later, but this is a highly promising book, and I'm just really enjoying reading it so far. Roman Catholic Theology and Practice and Evangelical Assessment by Greg Allison. More to come on that later.
Cool.
Some other titles here on my shelf, haven't been able to spend much time on these, but I want to mention them and whet your appetite and let you know about them. Here's one by Donald MacLeod, Christ Crucified, Understanding the Atonement. It's published by IVP Academic. It's they always do good work. This is about 260 pages or so, and it looks to be a very important and a significant work on the atonement. There seemed to be a time maybe in the late 90s and early 2000s, where there seemed to be quite a few books on the atonement, and then they kind of passed away. My dates might be off a little bit, but this one looks to be quite interesting and worth a look, so you can read more about that. Hopefully we'll do more on that in the future as well. Here's another book, China's Reforming Churches, Mission, Polity, and Ministry in the Next Christendom, edited by Bruce Baugus. That's Baugus. This is published by Reformation Heritage Books. This also is a very promising and exciting title. It has a collection of sections in here with contributions from many different people. There's a part here on the history of Presbyterianism in China, which I think would be fascinating and very interesting to many of our listeners. Part two is on Presbyterianism in China today. Part three is on challenges and opportunities for Presbyterianism in China. Part four is on appropriating a tradition with chapters such as the emergence of legal Christian publishing in China, an opportunity for Reformed Christians. Another chapter on a report on the state of Reformed theological education in China, published by written by the editor himself, Bruce Baugus. And then another chapter here, the indigenization and contextualization of the Reformed faith in China. So there are many wonderful contributions in this book, and it's a very exciting one, and certainly not something you're going to read very much about in other places. If you want to know about the Reformed Church in China, then this is the book, China's Reforming Churches, Mission, Polity, and Ministry in the Next Christendom by Reformation Heritage. Two more. One on heaven here. It's just titled Heaven. It's in the Theology and Community series published by Crossway. It's edited by Christopher Morgan and Robert Peterson. This is another edited volume that's very promising. Heaven is certainly a confusing subject for most. I don't know if there's anything more that has pop culture and pop religion influence than the topic of heaven, you know?
Yeah, especially now, I know. With popular books that are less than theologically sound.
Right, right. And this and Angels, I think it was what a recent interview we did. You and me and Jeff were talking about Judges, I think. And yep. You mentioned that show, Touched by an Angel. And, that's kind of example where you have all this pop religion that just gets in, and you don't know what's scriptural and what's just been made up. And if you don't do the work to study and to learn the theology, then you might never get the two separated. So here's a book on heaven with contributions by Gerald Bray, Ray Ortland, Stephen Wellum, Jonathan Pennington, Ajith Fernando, Andreas Kistenberger, John Lansma, Stephen Knoll, and David Calhoun. So quite a significant list of figures here, again, published by Crossway, Heaven in the Theology and Community series. And then finally, the big guy. I don't know, I believe we might have mentioned this one before, but Jim and I are working through this. It's taking some time because it is a book deserving of time and careful attention. But this is the Oxford Handbook of the Trinity. It's edited by Giles Emery and Matthew Levering, who are heavyweights in the academic world, yep. Especially in the Catholic world. And this is published by Oxford University Press, as you might gather, being the Oxford Handbook of the Trinity. But this is a beefer. This is a big one, and it's worthy I did a spot check. There are chapters in here. Part one's on the Trinity in Scripture. Part two is the patristic witnesses to the Trinitarian faith. Part three is medieval appropriations of the Trinitarian faith. Part four, the Reformation to the 20th century. And part five is on Trinitarian dogmatics. Part six, the Trinity in Christian life. And part seven on dialogues. So I did a spot check on a chapter on Karl Rahner, again, as you might expect, because it's all about Rahner. This one was written by Vincent Holzer, Karl Rahner, Hansers von Balthasar, and 20th Century Catholic Currents on the Trinity, and I was very pleased. And there's a lot of work on Rahner on the Trinity, and not all of it is good. Some people get it really, some really strange views, and I don't think read him correctly, but Vincent Holzer nails it, I thought, did a fine job, and that made me happy. Not that I agree with Rahner's Trinitarian theology, but to see the careful scholarship that you so often find in Oxford University Press books, yeah. I'm looking forward to spending some detailed time. It just helps me to, I don't know if this is true for you, Jim, but it puts me at ease if I know something I know a lot about is solid. That gives me so much more confidence for the other chapters that I know when I read about somebody I've never heard of, for example, that right. I'm going to get something that's also trustworthy and faithful to the subject that it's treating.
You know, it's not going to be hack scholarship.
Yeah.
That's huge. I mean, that obviously makes it worth reading because you know that not only are you going to benefit from getting good, competent information and analysis, but the other people that are studying in the same field that you're interested in will be reading the same stuff and mm-hmm. we'll all be dialoguing together about the same material. So, yeah, just in terms on the scholarly level, even if you disagree with the substance of the subject or the particular person being studied or whatever, you can at least benefit a lot from their scholarship. So for instance, you know, we have our very strong disagreements theologically from my perspective, with Barth and with a lot of Barth scholars, in so much as they advance more positively Barth's theology. But we can benefit from those guys when they are sitting down and doing analysis of Karl Barth's theology when it's done well and competently. And there are some scholars like a Bruce McCormick or a George Hunziker, a John Webster. John Webster, by the way, is just one of the most competent theological scholars that are out there today, I think. He's extremely careful in his analysis and in his writing, and you know, and that's not to denigrate somebody like a Bruce McCormick or a George Hunziker, who are also equally competent. But you know, when you read that, it gets exciting. You could say, "Oh wow, this is really helpful. I'm gaining insight. I'm mm-hmm. growing in my understanding, and can enter into a discussion about those subjects."
Good. Yeah, it's exciting. These are all worthy titles, and we wanted to bring them to your attention so that you can read more about them as well as purchase them if they're books that you're interested in, and we hope to do more on many of them in the future. So I want to thank everybody for listening. This has been the Reformed Media Review.